can trust in that greater power who guides the unfolding of the years. And in all that is to come, we can know that His purposes are just and true. May God continue to bless America.
And there was a law that did nothing except take the two words "under God" and stick them into the Pledge of Allegiance, which had been doing fine for 62 years without any problems, without any religion.
Well, during this presidential season, people are marveling at how often our politicians, the candidates, the parties are making reference to God, to religious beliefs, how often they're concerned about what religious voters are concerned about. I wonder what religion we're dealing with here. I think many Christians look out on the political landscape, and if they've determined already in their mind whether or not a certain politician or candidate is a Christian or not, they assume that when they hear the word God, it's the triune God of Holy Scripture, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. After all, it must be. Or must it? There is such a thing as American civil religion. Is it compatible with biblical Christianity? Is it the same thing as biblical Christianity? Or is it something else? In what ways does it serve the interests of the citizens of this country? In what ways does it not serve their interests as well as it could? Civil religion is the subject for the remainder of Issues Etc. today. Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. You can join us. Our email address right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Ken Sherb is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. He formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's written a chapter in the book, The Anonymous God. Ken's chapter is titled, Historiography of American Civil Religion. Ken, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, Todd, it is so great to be back on your air, and I'm glad you've got air to be on.
We got plenty of air right now, and I'm glad to have you back on, Ken. You've written recently about American civil religion. I know you've been watching through that lens a lot of what's been going on in politics lately. The God of American civil religion, is it the God of biblical Christianity?
No. How's that for a nice radio answer? No, it's not. American civil religion, like civil religion in just about any other society, is there to perform several functions in a society, to kind of unify the country. In America, civil religion helps to promote values and practices about freedom, democracy, equality, toleration, justice, all kinds of things that we generally regard as very good in our civic life. It has symbols, sort of holidays like the 4th of July, which we just observed, that are particularly acute times for civil religious observance. But the God that is talked about in civil religion sort of can't be too specific or too particular. It has to be a God that kind of embraces everything. And before we just jump on this and say, well, those civil religion crooks, I think we ought to at least pause and give civil religion its due. It is important for the general society that we recognize that there is a God, and that we recognize that our nation is not the be-all and end-all of human experience and existence, and that this nation is in fact responsible to someone greater than itself. And if everybody in the nation decided that that God has got to be identified as the God that they worship, then we'd be kind of up a tree as far as coming to some sort of a general recognition of the existence of God. I think that Lutheran theology, distinguishing between God's left-hand reign and his right-hand reign over the world, is in a much better position to take a realistic view of civil religion than others are, and to, in a way, appreciate what civil religion can do for a society when it promotes civic righteousness, which certainly is a good thing. It's not a saving thing, but it is a good thing.
Can you give us a simple description or definition of American civil religion without the particulars? What exactly is the thing?
Well, it's kind of what I was just talking about. Civil religion in the American context is a bunch of beliefs and attitudes that promote freedom and democracy and equality and toleration and opportunity and justice. They are portrayed by patriotic symbols. They are very often, as I said, brought up at some times of the year more than others, like the 4th of July. And these various ideals are regarded as sacred because God, who is undefined, has given them to the United States, and maybe in a very particular way to the United States. It's a kind of an open question among students of American civil religion to what degree the idea of America's special destiny or American exceptionalism is a integral part of American civil religion.
So religious language, symbols, ideas in service of the interests of the state.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The one thing you got to remember about civil religion is that it's there to serve the civitas, the civil realm, which may or may not be exactly coterminous with the government, but it usually ends up kind of coming out to that.
So on that, in that vein, then, what is the downside or the dangers of American civil religion? While it has its kind of serves as the rallying point for a general religious viewpoint, a general theistic viewpoint that may prevail in the country, where are the dangers, Ken?
Well, probably the biggest danger, actually both of these top two dangers, have to do with pulling the church off course, off message, off of Christ. The first is that civil religion can create a terrible false sense of security, where you think that if you've done your part as a citizen and done your part as maybe even a better than average member of your community, then that means religiously you are okay, and that this vaguely defined God of American civil religion will certainly be happy with you. In some places, and we've seen this happen, for example, when the astronauts died in the space shuttle disaster, 20-some years ago, and people were talking about, well, they certainly died and went right to heaven because they died in the service of their country. Here were people who were not exactly what you'd call ordinary Americans. They were quite extraordinary in any number of ways. But because they were so extraordinary, and because they died in service to the country as astronauts in the cause of space exploration, many people were willing to say, oh, well, they must have gone straight to heaven. God would certainly be pleased with them.
Ronald Reagan said they slipped the surly bonds of this world and touched the face of God.
Yeah. Now, that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about, where you get this false sense of security that having done something good, even remarkable, in the service of the country is going to get you in good with God. The second point, the second challenge that civil religion presents us, maybe even more targets Christianity particularly, because Christianity is a very particular religion. We worship a Lord, Jesus Christ, who is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, and yet incarnate, and lived at a particular time in this world that can be attested, dated, shown in secular history as well as sacred documents, you know, the time when he lived. This is not some vague, amorphous God who sort of fills all the universe and you can't sort of get your hands on him any better than that. No, this is a God who became flesh and the fullness of the Godhead, Paul writes, Colossians 2:9, dwelt in him bodily. He died and made atonement for the sins of the world and rose again for the justification of the world. And see, that's the remarkable thing about the Christian faith, and the thing that civil religion finds it so hard kind of to swallow about Christianity, is that this is a truth that has both a very particular aspect to it, and yet it reaches out and embraces all people, because the one man, Jesus, is God in the flesh who died to save all. So it is, as I say, remarkably difficult for civil religion to kind of wrap its mind around this. And civil religion gets scandalized, therefore, by the particularity of Christianity.
Okay, so when we come back, that's where I want to go next with you, Ken. As we talk about American civil religion, has a hard time letting the real Jesus, the biblical Jesus, the God in human flesh, the sacrifice for the sins of the world, the one savior of all mankind, in the door or in City Hall or wherever American civil religion is practiced. But of course, you and I both well know that Jesus is given a role to play in American civil religion. When we come back, we'll find out what it is. Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois at trinitymillstadt.org.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Where Christianity meets culture. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, look for the sponsor section at our homepage, issuesetc.org. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes with Dr. Ken Sherb talking about American civil religion. He has written a chapter in a book called The Anonymous God. You can read an excerpt from this book on the show notes page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Look under show notes. You'll find an excerpt from this book, The Anonymous God. Ken, before the break, you were talking about how it's difficult for the real Jesus to get a hearing and a showing with American civil religion, and yet American civil religion does give Jesus a role to play. What is it?
Well, it'll depend a little bit on the particular person you're hearing talk about this, but generally Jesus is recognized as a important figure, an important religious model, maybe a moral teacher of great standing, and we do well to model ourselves in any number of ways after him. But religion, or civil religion, in this country or any place else, will stop short of saying Jesus is the way and the truth and the life for fear that that would be divisive.
And it would be, wouldn't it? I mean, in a civil sense, wouldn't it?
Well, it need not be in a civil sense. Again, this is where the biblical teaching of the God's left hand and right hand realms of governance is really important, I think, for us to understand. Now, there's a lot of people who will say, no, unless you recognize Christ as Savior, then we can't have a unified government. We can't understand that there is a religious dimension unifying our entire civic enterprise. And I think if you recognize the teaching of God's realm, the two realms of governance, you can see that, no, it's not absolutely necessary that everybody recognize Jesus as Savior to be under one God.
I guess that's been a point of controversy because we have done two different things in our nation recently at the same time. One, we've talked an awful lot more about God in the political realm than I think we've ever done since the founding of our country. I think there was a lot of God talk back then, too. But we took a break for about 150 years or so, and now we're all talking God again in politics. And yet, we're more nervous than ever before about any concrete explanations, declarations about who that God might be. So our politicians will talk about God rather freely,
sure,
but even the Christian ones will nary say a word about the Trinity, Jesus Christ, or anything beyond the most generic mention of.
But people get nervous because they think that, well, if thus and such a person gets elected, then he's going to want to enforce his idea of God on everybody else as a civic requirement. In order to be a citizen, you might have to accede to that person's definition of God. And that is certainly not what the United States Constitution talks about, nor is it absolutely necessary from a biblical point of view that everybody in a nation has the same recognition of Christ. Of course, we want people to recognize Christ as their Savior and so be saved. But you don't have to have that kind of unanimity to run a government. Luther has this famous quote where he said he'd rather be ruled by a wise Turk than by a stupid Christian.
You have been watching the current political goings-on and the presidential race with some interest, especially with regard to American civil religion. What have you discovered?
There is a professor of sociology who has been a student of American civil religion for about 30 years now by the name of Ronald Wimberly. He teaches at North Carolina State University. He thinks that a candidate's ability to sound the note of civil religion, to say kind of all the right civil religious things in just the right proportions with just the right of winsomeness perhaps, is the key to getting votes, perhaps more than any other. And it is a key to getting the votes not only of people who consider themselves to be religious, but also, he says, this is the key to getting votes of people who don't consider themselves to be very religious.
Interesting.
He's talking about basically how tight a hold civil religion, its symbols, its rhetoric, has on the American mind, on the electorate. Now, that's an interesting thesis. I wonder, as you have hinted here, Todd, whether the fragmentation of civil religion in the 21st century is going to make his hoped-for predictor of people's votes a little bit more difficult and not quite as accurate as he thinks it's going to be.
Let's talk here near the end of our conversation about what you mentioned before, one of the great dangers of American civil religion, and that is its influence on the Christian church. We can hear preachers stand in the pulpit and be as generic as any politician about God. They're less specific sometimes than the politicians are about God. Talk about the influence of American civil religion there.
There was a study done of Lutherans, actually, in the United States about 35 years ago or so. And this study, called the Study of Generations, showed that while on the one hand, Lutherans of all kinds and stripes and descriptions believed that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. Let me just cite you some of the statistics. 3 out of every 4 statistics told the survey that all religions take a person to the same God. But 3 out of 4 also said faith in Christ was absolutely necessary for salvation. Now, how in the world do you come up with that? How do you make sense of that? One observer at the time, I think very acutely remarked that these people had kind of one foot in the boat of the Sunday school faith they had been taught ever since they were kids and were still being taught. But on the other hand, they had one foot in the boat of what we might call in this conversation American civil religion.
So those two ideas are obviously logically, theologically, completely incompatible.
Right. You can't hold them both, and you can't have 3 out of every 4 people saying both. But they did in this survey.
Does that mean, on the whole, American civil religion represents a tremendous danger to Orthodox biblical Christianity?
Well, not just American civil religion. The civil religion in any country, because just about any country is going to have a civil religion. It'll take a little bit different form from one place to another. But it's going to have a civil religion. And to the extent that people start sort of dragging that civil religion and all of its manifestations into their worship of Christ, it can have huge erosive effects on their Christianity. And it can also prevent them from taking their Christianity into the public square because they figure that somehow or another the public square is now to be solely the domain of this vaguely defined God of the nation, but not a place to talk about Jesus Christ. And both of those are tragic when they occur.
Ken, with 1 minute, is God an American?
No, God is the creator of heaven and earth. He stands above the nations. He does not stand beneath them. And actually, at its best, civil religion can help to remind people of that, remind them that they do have a responsibility to someone who is bigger than themselves, and yes, even bigger than their nation. Where civil religion will probably fail us every time, except in the most rarefied of circumstances, is to identify that Jesus Christ really is the way and the truth and the life. And so you say, well, where does that kind of leave us? It leaves us with a big challenge every day of having to live in this country that we live in, this world that we live in, but also at the same time recognizing that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Dr. Ken Sherb is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. He served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's written a chapter in the book Anonymous God, his chapter titled Historiography of American Civil Religion. Ken, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being our guest on Issues, Etc.
I am delighted to be back with you, Todd. I hope you have great times here.
Thank you. Tomorrow on the program, Scott Klusendorf will join us. We'll talk about defending the pro-life position. It certainly does need a defense nowadays. We'll also discuss next week's meeting of the leaders of worldwide Anglicanism. It's called the Lambeth Conference, once a decade. Bishop Keith Ackerman will join us. And then, you've heard about this discovery of a tablet that is purported to describe a Messiah who will rise from the dead. We'll talk about that archaeological find with Dr. Jeff Kloa of Concordia Seminary. That's tomorrow on Issues, Etc. There's only one God that will do for the church. The state can use just about any god, and states have used just about any god to get their ends met. God is a means to an end. That's American civil religion. God in service of the state, that's American civil religion. In the church, it's quite different. It is the God who served the world through his perfect life, death, and resurrection, none other than Jesus, our Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.